a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call the Senate Education Committee to order. Reminder that we are on the Internet, and we'll welcome those listeners as well as all of you here today. Welcome to Senate Education Committee. Reminder, just turn off your cell phones. And before we get started, I want to have the pages stand up and introduce themselves. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you're doing after graduation. Go ahead, Michaela.
My name is Michaela Depper. I'm from Stern, South Dakota, and as of now, I do not know what I'm doing after high school.
My name is Peter Delgado. I'm from Lower Brule. I plan on majoring in biochemistry, either SDSU or HBU.
I'm Nick Reagan. I'm from South Dakota, Rapid City, and I'm going to college somewhere up in SDSU.
Well, welcome. The pages have started their start today. They'll be here for the next 2 weeks helping us out. So welcome, guys. At this time, we'll have the Secretary. Boots, will you call the roll, please?
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Krause.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Schleckaway.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Okay. You do have a quorum.
We have a quorum. The minutes are in your books. At this time, can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. We have one bill on the agenda today. It's House Bill 1189, and it's my intention today to take testimony on this bill and then to hold it over until Thursday. A reminder, on Thursday, we will have House Bill 1234. We'll wrap up this bill as well. But we'll also be in room 414, I believe, at 8 a.m., 7:45. Is that okay? Many of you might be wondering where Senator Johnson is, the normal chairman. He's laid up with pneumonia and influenza A. We hope he's back on Thursday. If not, I'll be wielding the gavel, so look out. With that, let's take up our calendar for the day. House Bill 1189 is an act to establish a deadline within each semester after which no student may transfer to a school district other than the resident school district through the Enrollment Options Program. That's a mouthful. Senator Greenfield, welcome to Senate Education.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm actually Representative Greenfield these days.
You will always be Senator Greenfield in my mind. Representative Greenfield.
Representative Brock Greenfield. I'm from District 6, and my hometown is Clark. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have the pages distribute an amendment that I'd like to pitch as we go forward. And I do have at least one person from back in my district who's going to testify today, so I'll be relatively brief in my remarks here, and I would like to rebut if there's stinging opposition. Historically speaking, the administrators from our district have gotten together prior to session and talked about a number of issues that affect education. And a couple different times, this issue of establishing open enrollment dates has come up, and embodied in this bill are two dates specific after which open enrollments could not take place in a given semester. The first one being the last Friday in September, the second one being the last Friday in January. Anybody who seeks to open enroll after that would be required to hold off until the following semester. The onus behind this is, I think, a recognition that reasonable decisions can be made prior to those dates. Oftentimes, open enrollments that take place on the whim, on a spur of a moment, especially well thought out. And ultimately, it's to the detriment of the student if they begin bouncing from one district to another. There's no continuity in their curriculum at that point. And I've mentioned this before. You know, in small schools especially, you may have an English teacher in one district that chooses to teach the speech unit in the fall semester, whereas in a neighboring district they're doing that during the spring semester. If a child enrolls in sophomore English and they're not studying the same course material, there is no continuity, you know, and that is, again, to the student's detriment. So ultimately what we're asking for is a little more accountability, a little more continuity, in the hopes that the student's best interests will be upheld, if you will. In the amendment that I've distributed, it says, in addition, the deadlines for transfer established in this section do not apply to a student who enrolls in a school after the deadline in either semester, and that student may transfer to another school district upon the approval of the school board of the receiving school district. What that's getting at, it's come to my attention in a number of cases that, you know, there are school districts where there are a lot of students moving, you know, with their families. They're relocating from District X to District Y. And in that case, they're new enrollees, and they may not know the system, and they may start in a school and a month later decide that this isn't serving my best needs. And in that case, this would allow for that person to open enroll. I do have one concern that remains unaddressed, and that is a special exceptions or special circumstances clause. And given that it would be your intention to hold this over until Thursday, I'll work on an amendment for that. But, you know, as I said, I have somebody here who would like to testify, and that person's going to be able to give you a better synopsis of what the real issues are. I will stand down. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Representative. Are there further proponents? House Bill 1189, further proponents. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Brian Heipel. I'm the superintendent of schools in the Clark School District. And as Representative Greenfield said, every year the superintendents in his district get together with our representatives and talk about issues. And this issue came up this year again, and it is a concern of all the superintendents in our area, where we have kids that are jumping in and out of our schools with no, you know, they get in trouble, disciplined within a school district, they go to the next school district. Okay, they find that the grass is not greener on the other side, so then they want to come back, or they want to go to another school district. Most of the time, those people that open enroll for a good reason, maybe a better curriculum or something like that, those types of people will do it at the beginning of a school year. They don't take and jump in, jump out throughout a school year. They plan ahead. They think about, okay, school district A is not offering what I want, so I am going to go to school district B. But they'll do that at the beginning of the school year. They think things through. What we're trying to eliminate are those that really don't think things through and just want to jump in, out throughout school. I have one student, you know, for example, in our school district that wanted to come back this year, and that would have been the fourth time he would have been in and out of either my school district or the school district he was at before. And it had absolutely nothing to do with academics. It had to do with he got in trouble, wanted to run, come back, so forth. And we just think that we need to have something in place, because right now the only reason we can deny is because of capacity, or if we do not have the program, example, a special education program or something along those lines. Other than that, we don't have the right now under codified law to deny, and we just think that we need to have some consistency as far as a beginning date and a semester date. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Mr. Heupel. Stand by for questions. In the meantime, I'm going to call for more proponents. Are there further proponents? Further proponents. House Bill 1189. We're now open to opponent testimony. Are there opponents to House Bill 1189? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Culver. I'm Superintendent Avon School. Our district is against this bill for, you know, I guess fortunately, you know, listening to Mr. Heupel, we don't have the same issues that he's had in his area, and I understand his concerns about that. But so far, fortunately, we have not had kids jumping back and forth on a regular basis. Usually when they come to our school, they've fortunately stayed. But the main reason, I guess, that I'm against this bill is for this particular purpose. And I know the representative made a comment about this, about special circumstances. And I'll give you a real-life example of a special circumstances that just happened at our school. We had, a week ago Monday, we had a family come to our school. They lived in another district on the other side of the state. Parents went through a bitter divorce. There's, I mean, a lot of turmoil. These kids have been through unbelievable amount, more than what any kid should have to go through. Well, anyway, they come back, moving in with the grandma and grandpa till they kind of get back on their feet. They move back with one of the parents. And during that time, they have a relative that's a staff member at our school and a couple of cousins that attend our school. And so they wanted to go someplace where they were going to be comfortable, knew somebody, you know, because they're already in enough turmoil the way it is. They wanted to make that process as smooth as possible. Now, you know, without the amendment on there, the way the bill was originally written, we could not accept those kids. And I just think, from a personal point of view, sometimes, and we did have a couple schedule issues, and it was a pain. But, you know, I think my job as a school administrator, and I know my principal feels the same way, is we're supposed to do what we can to help these kids. That's our job, is to help kids make that transition as smooth as possible. And it is a hassle. It is a hassle for our teachers sometimes, but our staff members are willing to do that. So, you know, therefore, you know, we oppose this because if this bill passes as an original form, and I realize with the amendment and there could be some changes and exceptions made there, but, you know, I guess in our area, I just don't see it as a big problem of kids jumping from place to place. Now, I believe in other areas it is, and, you know, and I don't know what the best situation to deal with that. I think you're always going to have, no matter what the situation, there's going to be issues. But anyway, I just think for the best thing for those kids, and I would say 95% of the kids and their families make a very conscious, and it's a tough decision for them. And therefore, you know, I don't think we should limit them, because there's always going to be issues, no matter what we come up with, that there's going to be a reason that maybe we didn't think of that at the time, but it comes up later, and a kid can't go to a different school. So anyway, that's all I have, and I'd stand by for any questions later. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Culver. Are there further opponents to House Bill 1189? Further opponents? Seeing none, Representative Greenfield, would you like a minute to rebut?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly do recognize and acknowledge what the gentleman said, you know, as posing a problem. And as mentioned, you know, it's been my intention throughout this process to work with people and try to get something that they can agree with. I want to state for the record, I forgot to in my opening remarks, every one of the superintendents from my district who has asked me to bring this forward said they support open enrollment, as do I. It's not our intention to throw it out the window. You know, there was a time not so long ago in South Dakota when there was no open enrollment. We have it now. It's working well for those instances in which it's used properly. We have We have seen a number of situations that would suggest that maybe it can be tweaked, and I think that if given a couple of days to work on amendments or work on an amendment, we can address the gentleman who just spoke. We can address his concerns and hopefully have a bill that people can generally embrace as being in the best interest of all students. That I'll stand down. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative. At this time, we'll close testimony and open to questions of the committee. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we could really kind of cut to the chase. The whole thing is that the way the state works right now, on that Friday that you have in the bill, that's the count day. That's the day kids are paid for. That's the whole thing here. That's what we're dealing with, more or less. I know that. What I wanted to ask you, the other thing is, if we just went to a, don't you think if we'd have just gone to ADM system again, that we would eliminate a lot of this total worrying about transfer of students? Don't you think that, Representative?
Representative Greenfield.
Well, The actual reason that the last Friday in September is put in the bill is because that's a date that is significant within to the schools. I don't want it to be minimized by saying that it only has to do with the money. It doesn't. It could be the second Friday. It could be the last. It could be the last Friday in October. But you know, I think that a person recognizes right now we have school starting sometime in late August. This essentially gives a person 5 weeks, roughly, to determine whether or not they would choose to open enroll in a different school. and again, it creates a situation in which there's really no question as to what the date is. You don't have to go flipping through the law books to decide, or is it October 1st, or is it the third Friday in October, or what have you. It's just a date that is significant within our current system. The last Friday in January also, you know, gives students roughly 3 weeks to 4 weeks after Christmas vacation is over, generally speaking, just about a month in which to determine whether or not to open enroll. So I don't want it to devolve into an idea that this is about the money, because I think in testimony you heard the clear sentiments of the gentleman who spoke in favor of the bill. This is about what's in the best interest of students. And it is echoed throughout my district and in my school in my legislative district. I believe there are 12 schools plus one co-op. So for those people, their intentions are true.
Senator Bradford, follow-up?
I believe it's in law right now that if a parent moves, you can transfer any time. I mean, there's no question about that. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is true. I mean, if a parent relocates, that student can be enrolled in that school district. The concern, I know down in Dakota Valley, is that Elk Point School, the Elk Point Attendance Center is significantly south of the northern part of that school district. Just across the line is another attendance center. And so you have students oftentimes whose parents will relocate to that northern area where there's development, and they're weighing their options between sending their kids nearly 20 miles on a bus or what have you, or just sending them just across the line. And that happens in other school districts as well. So what I don't want to do is create a situation by bringing this bill that would prohibit those folks from making a decision as to what's in the best interest of their children. It's going to take a little bit of time to decide what exactly a particular school district has to offer. And so, yes, you're correct. And I just don't want to create a situation with my bill that would trample on those parents' rights to make that determination.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Greenfield, would you walk us through the general idea of your proposed amendment on Thursday, since we have a little time now? And I think I know where you're going with it, but we were just discussing. We'd like to maybe go over it for a few minutes here since we have some time.
Sure. If I could, I'll just read to you one of the proposals, and that would be, however, in the event circumstances warrant that a student should be enrolled after the prescribed dates, the school board of the receiving district may allow the open enrollment. Much of that language is reflected here. And I was trying to think of a way to weave that into this. Again, recognizing that there are instances that would dictate that a person may choose to open enroll. Bad situations arise, unfortunately. We live in an imperfect world, and it would just give a receiving district the option of hearing a person's plea and making a determination afterwards. So I hope that answers your question adequately.
Yes. One follow-up. Thank you. I'll have just a few preparatory remarks, and then I think it'll make sense. What you're describing, then, I would see the scenario. I had a mother in my district that I helped out. Had her daughter was in a just an extreme bullying situation to the point where she wouldn't go to school at her current school, and it would have fallen in the dates that in that gap, let's say, she would have not been able to go to school till if we pass this in this form until January, whatever that Friday is in January. So she could have missed a month or two or three of school. Would you envision the mechanism you're proposing then that if the situation arises, they can go to the school board of the receiving district and petition them in either a special meeting or their regular meeting to allow the student to come in?
Yes, sir. That would be correct.
Further questions? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I guess I'm just kind of curious. We have a little bit of time here. I just want to kind of get my thoughts around this a little bit. I think I understand what you're saying. Just as an example, as a volunteer, I was involved with a elementary school. Couldn't say the right word. And this school started off with 319 kids in September, and by January they had 321 transfers. And these were parents kind of moving in and out of the district. So it sounds to me like what you're envisioning here is that if the parents are moving, even though they move quite often, that this is not going to trigger this particular issue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So then further, if I'm thinking about the academies. You know, in Rapid City right now, they've got the three high schools. One is the academy, and I assume because they are resident folks and the academies provide some help for them, that would not be a problem either. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, if I might, what academy are you speaking of?
Well, it's, Rapid City's got about 900,000 kids that are in the academies, and these are basically kids that have not, what's the right word? 900 kids.
Are you? I thought South Dakota experienced a population boom.
Yeah. They got 13,000 kids in the school, but 900 of them are in the academies. Well, the academies are where kids want to get their GED, or they've been kind of kicked out of one of the two high schools, and so I don't know what you might call that, but in Rapid City they call it the academy.
Mr. Chairman, on the House side, we addressed that matter, I think, that says the deadlines for transfer established in this section do not apply to any student seeking to attend an alternative school that is operated by a school district or with which a school district contracts. we know them as alternative schools. I actually, now that you bring that up, though, I do need to see if there's a better term for that. And again, we have a couple of days by which to do that. But that would be, it's already spoken to in this bill. And it's very insightful that you would ask that, because that was a concern. It wasn't in the original draft. And so that was something we put in on the House side.
Thank you. Well, then, taking it one step further, you know, just as an example, Box Elder, Douglas School in Box Elder does not currently have an academy. But they have kids who could benefit from the academy, and come up with a better term for me, but that's what I know right now. Would this prohibit one of those students from going to Rapid City to complete their high school, even though they're not a resident of that particular district?
No, it's my intention with the language that's in the bill currently to essentially exempt those situations, recognizing that in many cases the alternative school is the best option for some individuals, and we've tried to address that because back where I'm from too, we have those alternative schools, and in many cases those are the salvation of some of the students, and you may not recognize that there's an issue until November or until March, and at that time if the school if the school deems fit to pursue that with the student, so be it. We certainly don't want to stand in the way of that. So it is, you know, I've attempted to address it out in the engrossed version of the bill that was put out by the House committee.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank
further
you.
Questions. Further questions of the committee. Thank you, Representative.
Yes, sir, thank
at this time, we'll close committee questions and open it up to discussion and or action. Reminder that I intend to hold this over until Thursday, but I think we ought to move this amendment. And then I would also intend to give Representative Greenfield a chance to pitch his amendment and ask questions on Thursday as well. But I think we should move this amendment and get it on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rabe.
I would move Amendment 1189, Charlie Bravo.
We have a motion and a second to amend 1189 with 1189CB. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1189 is amended. With that, the chair would defer House Bill 1189 as amended until Thursday. Any other business before the committee today? Members, nothing. With that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.